Okay. I hope everyone will get a little something out of this year, and if not, at least you got out of Pesach cleaning, which is a worthy cause unto itself. So, the title that they put on the flyer was giving direction to the Seder. So, I'm going to discuss a mix of practical suggestions and some themes that I feel are important towards maintaining the focus of the Seder. So, first of all, just some practical things. Nothing I say here is directed specifically because of the people that came here. I did not know who was coming. So, if you feel this relates to you, good. If not, it's in the take it or leave it column. So, the first thing at a Seder, going through Magid, is you have to know a few things. In other words, a lot of people, different people have different approaches to how to present their starim, but there are some things, some questions you have to ask yourself before you get started, so you don't get carried away with your potentially amassing a large amount of material but having no one to sell it to. So the first thing you have to know is, who's your audience? Is it yourself, your wife, other people, your children? How do you expect them to receive your information? What's their level of understanding, right? What's their level of understanding, meaning how advanced is their Yiddishkeit? How do you expect them to absorb the lessons? And sometimes you'll get surprised, but generally you can gauge pretty much where your audience is holding based on what they understand, what their exposure is to what concepts in Yiddishkeit, what their level of understanding is as far as how old they are, and what can you expect of them to reasonably appreciate and participate in the Seder. To say all of Rav Chaim Brisker's Torah to the young, fresh Baal Tshuva couple that you invited for their first Seder is not going to work. Or sometimes it works the opposite way, like my grandfather, Olav Shalom, who went through Auschwitz. By the time we were halfway through Magid, he says, "Doesn't sound so bad." It's all relative, but you have to keep in mind who's in the audience. What about what you're giving over? Are they going to understand? And so a lot of times, when you think about that in advance, you can take the information that you prepared and give it over on a more sophisticated level or on a simpler level, depending who is there. It's possible to say things that everyone can appreciate. You know, if you can take a concept, and it's an important concept and a deep concept, perhaps, but if you think about it in advance and you think of the clearest way to say it and maybe cut out some of the proofs and some of the pilpul, you might find that you have a Dvar Torah that you thought was only geared for a very sophisticated audience that could be said over to a less sophisticated audience. So that's really the first question. Who is your audience? What is their level of understanding? The first two questions that we have to think about. The next one is... Oh, we need a few more chairs in here.
We need a chair. We need another chair. Take this one.
This is one lecture you can't stall. It's after Passover.
And it's one you can't pass over either. Okay. So the next question, which is related to the first two questions, is what is their patience/focus level? Children have their own patience/focus level, how long they can pay attention for, and if you can give over the message in the time that they can pay attention, that's great. If your message is longer than their patience span, or spans, if they come and go, then you're going to be talking to the walls. You could prepare some things that are on their level for when they're there, and things that are on a different level for when they're not there. It's also important when you have, even kids that are teenagers, they don't always necessarily want to hear what the amount that you have prepared. So these questions are good questions to keep in mind. I think another thing to keep in mind, people feel like Maggid is do or die, meaning you prepared X amount for the Seder, and it's all got to come out during Maggid. The truth is, like we read in the Haggadah, the mitzvah to talk about the going out of Mitzrayim is the whole night. So you may decide, based on the audience's ability, to say some things during Maggid and save the rest for Shulchan Aruch. You know, there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that you have to, but there's definitely nothing wrong with having a longer Shulchan Aruch. People may be more willing to listen or share over a piece of meat rather than looking longingly at the clock. You know, sometimes that's the case, sometimes it's not the case. There's nothing that we're saying is absolute, but it's all things to keep in mind. And not only that, you don't have to share it all that night. You can save some for the rest of the Yom Tov too. It's important that what you are going to say and what you are going to talk about is geared to the audience. More on that soon. But there's really a bit of a deeper question when it comes to what direction is your Seder going to take. And that is, what is the focus of the Maggid and of the night? Meaning, the Haggadah is a piece of Torah Shebal Peh. No different than it's like learning a piece of Gemara. The Haggadah is like a piece of Gemara. It was written by the Tanaim. It's like a Mishnah or a Medrash. It's written by the Tanaim. We don't know who the author was, but it's written in the same style, and it contains endless depth. Proof being the thousands and thousands of Haggadahs and the amount of new Haggadahs that come out every year. There's obviously endless depth. So if your goal is to learn it like every other sugya, and there's no end to it. I mean, there's no end to the amount of Torah that you could say on the Maggid. So there obviously has to be, in the few short hours that there is, and even the longest storm have not more than a few hours from the time you finally get started, and you don't believe it, but it actually is after 10 o'clock before you've gotten past Manashtana, and it's there's a deadline that of Chatzais, at least for Afikoman, or at least to make the Avnei Nezers tonight and have your Mitzi Matzah before them. But whatever it is, you have a deadline. So what is the focus? To say endless amounts of Torah? It's nice, it's great, it's a piece of Torah like any other piece of Torah. But practically speaking, there has to be some focus that the night is meant for. And the rest of the Torah, like we said before, can be saved for a different time. So the most important goal is that the Seder night is not a night of information. It's a night of a hashivaisa elavavecha. It's a night of taking things that we know or we're learning about and make it a part of us. Seder night has to speak to the heart. Because, I'll talk about this more later, but what we're doing is, the Seder night is a once-a-year infusion of emunah, which is supposed to last us throughout the year, and we're supposed to remind ourselves of throughout the year, as we'll soon see. And by nature, this cannot be acquired just through knowledge, through another Dvar Torah, through another thought, through another pilpul. It has to be, the goal of the information has to be that it's going to help you inculcate, identify, and feel impacted and inspired by what by the things that are being said. So with that in mind, and the proof is to this, by the way, is in the fact that on Saturday night we try so many tricks to get everyone at every stage passionate and intrigued by the Seder. We have visual aids, we have the ka'ara on the table, we have the matzah and the maror, We have question and answer, which is always a much more engaging way of dialogue. We have Manashtana and Avadam Hayinu. We encourage questions. We do things just for the sake of being strange, like Karpas. One of the reasons is just in order that the children should ask. And not only the children, you know, we also have to ask. We sing, we have Hallel, which is also, it's not so much the, Hallel is not so much the knowledge, you know, a lot of us are glazed over by them after three cups and multiple kazesim of matzah and more, but Hallel, the singing, it's all supposed to stimulate our emotions. And the point is, the clear message from the Seder, from the arrangement of the night, is that the Seder night is supposed to be engaging and supposed to be impactful. So the Torah that you prepare and the thoughts that you want to share at your Seder should also be directed towards that goal. Now, another thing that is always a test on the Seder night, it's always a test on any time of chashivas, any time of importance, like we find this on Erev Shabbos and other times, is that the Seder night requires patience and simcha. You know, it is known as a serious time. For some people, you know, that is naturally more their temperament. But as a whole, the Seder night, especially with children and young children who are up way past their bedtime and don't know what to do with themselves, it requires a lot of patience, because otherwise the mood gets lost in the bickering. So it's something also that's helpful towards it being engaging and impactful, is to be patient. It's not an easy thing, and different starim, it's more necessary than others, but that is another point to keep in mind. So, therefore, we've established one thing so far, and that is that whatever we're going to say and whatever we're going to prepare, the question, the litmus test is this a Magid Dvar Torah, or is this a tomorrow lunch Dvar Torah? Is this engaging, impactful, interesting to the people in my audience? Or is this something that I think is a nice thought that I heard, but maybe it's for a different time? That's one point. Now, that's the most, I guess, practical part of it. I want to discuss a couple themes to kind of give a bit of a focus, which will help when looking through Divrei Torah to kind of isolate the ones that will affect people the most. By the way, the best thing to do before looking in Svarim is, if you have the time, to sit down and read through the Magid with the simple translation. And think about each piece just by itself, just what it means, you know, before we start jumping with the wording and the questions and the sequence and the remuzim, and if they were sitting in Bnei Brak, was it Rebbe Kiva's opinion? Was it Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah's opinion? The simplest pshat in the Haggadah, the words themselves, are extremely meaningful. Sometimes that gets overlooked in the pursuit for Divrei Torah. The words themselves are extremely meaningful. Just to sit down and think about the fact that five of the greatest people that ever lived spent the whole night, when they could have been speaking about Gemara, they could have been speaking about Masechtas Be'iyim, they could have been speaking about all sorts of halachas and been doing what they did the rest of the year. They spend the night talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just absorbing the very facts of what's being said at the Seder is, in itself, very inspiring. But I want to talk about the following. I'm going to break down what I say into three themes: then, now, and the future. Then, what happened at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the most obvious theme of the night. We speak about the Galus. We speak about the suffering. We speak about the low point that we as a nation started from before Avraham Avinu, and the low point of being in Mitzrayim in a very desperate situation. And we come to the high of leaving Mitzrayim, of Makas Bechiris, of Kriyas Yamsuf. We speak about all these things at the Seder, and it's a very important theme. And that's the first point where we speak about the words engaging and impactful, is with the concept of maschil begnus and masayim b'shvach. We start from the low point and we get to the high. Why? You know why? Because that's how every good story goes. Because if you don't see the beginning and you don't see the end, it's not so exciting. Say, here's a guy, he's rich, he has everything he wants, he has the most wonderful wife and the most amazing children, and he lived happily ever after. It's not an interesting story. If you talk about a guy who he was down in the dumps and he grew up with nothing and he suffered with poverty.
He was in jail a few times.
And he was in jail a few times, maybe. And he turned around and then he ended up becoming a very successful person. It's a lot more of an interesting story. So too, it's the basic idea of Maslow Bignos and Messiah B'Shvach is it makes it much more impactful if we see where we started and where we got to. But it also makes it a lot more personal. If you want to say something that happened to you and you're excited about it, you know, the mashal I give is if you were somewhere in Montana on the highway and you got a flat tire in the middle of the night and you had no idea where you were going to get help from, and then all of a sudden this big familiar-looking 12-seater van pulls up, and it's one of the local mishpachas on some summer car trip, and they happen to have a jack in the back, and they put up your car and they put on the spare. It's an amazing story, but if you just say, "Oh, I met the Engelsons in Montana," you know, it's not so interesting. But if you talk about, if you want to make it exciting and how personal and personally meaningful, you talk about how stuck you were before you got out of it. So that's the idea of the then. The then is, I think, the most obvious point. It's the point that is most clearly discussed in the Svarim, is most clearly focused on by people, the idea of Chayiv Adam Liris Es Asma Kilu Hu Yasim in Mitzrayim, the idea of feeling like we left Mitzrayim. It's a very, very well-known point. The two points that are less known are as follows. The now. What is the Seder night today? Besides for the fact that we left Mitzrayim, what is going on the night itself? So I saw some things from Rav Schwab Zitzal that I think are very negated to this. And he says we have to focus on the fact that he's reading this into the Manashtana. And he says that the child is so amazed. By the way, he says just an interesting point in Pshat. He said the word ma can mean what, and it can also mean how. So typically we understand the child is asking, why is this night different, or what is different about this night than all other nights? Which is a little bit redundant because he answers his own question by saying, well, I'll tell you what's different. Tonight we're eating matzah, we're not eating chametz and matzah. But Rav Schwab says it means, wow, this night is so different, it's so strange. It's how different is this night? It's a exclamation mark. It's an expression of wonderment. Anyway, but he says that the child is impressed by the fact that everything on the night has a very specific seder, has a very specific order. Everything is very specific. You have to eat this, you have to eat it like that. Everything is done without much room, much wiggle room. So he said, what's going on here? Why is it so important the way we eat? What's so important? And the answer is, says Rav Schwab, that we tell him, is that Hashem, our God, who watches over us, took us out of Mitzrayim. So what we're celebrating is the fact that Hashem took us out, and this night is like we're invited to a royal dinner. At a royal dinner, you get prepped, there's a whole decorum and a protocol, and you follow it, whatever it is, to the T. So too, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what we're doing now, Chazal tells this night is the pasuk says is a Leil Shimurim, which Chazal tells us that means that the impact of Hashem revealing Himself in Mitzrayim on that night repeats itself every year. So we're inviting Hashem to the Seder. That's really what goes on the Seder night. It's Hashem's meal, and we're participating as part of this royal meal. So the now of the night of the Seder is the fact that this is the night where we're celebrating the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He didn't send someone else, something else. He didn't send a malach. He didn't send anything. It was Hashem b'chvaydu v'asmai revealed Himself in Mitzrayim, and He reveals Himself again every year on the Seder night. There's a higher, there's a greater opportunity to come to a higher awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is Lil Shimurim. And that's why the Seder has so much organization to it. It's because of the nature of the meal. So if that point is conveyed, that's also, it makes it a lot more impactful. It's not just a meal. It's not just a long drasha followed by a hasty meal. It's the night, the tzura of the night, the idea of the night, is that we're here to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to recognize more Hashem's presence in the world. And that's really the crux, is to think through, as you're going through the Maggid, is to think how Hashem did this for us, and Hashem will do this for us, as we'll speak about soon, and Hashem is doing this for us on a constant basis. To add a couple points on that idea, part of the reason we mentioned, part of the reason before why we mentioned the tsaris, before the geula, part of the reason why we mentioned the suffering is because we have to realize that it's all part of Hashem's plan. Without the suffering, the geula would have been very meaningless. Meaning, if Hashem skipped the whole Mitzrayim, then fine, we would have been. We improved so much through being pushed against the wall and through the suffering, that it was all part of the plan. The important point is to realize that it's not that we happened to get stuck somewhere and Hashem pulled us out. Hashem put us there because it was all part of the plan. So what we're doing by being maschil b'gnus and mesayim b'shvach not only impacts how we're going to relate to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it also affects how we're going to relate to our relationship with Hashem, which is being improved on this night, because we are focusing on the fact that it was all Hashem. Although we could attribute it to other things, there's other players in the story. There's Parai, and there's Moshe, and there's Aaron, and there's the Mitzrayim. There's the officers. There's the taskmasters. There's all sorts of other players in the story. But the facts are that it was Hashem b'chvayd v'atzmai who revealed himself to us then, and who's revealing to himself to us on the Seder night.
The reason Rosh suggested that the Seder is when you have that, when you're at a royal feast, you have a certain.
Yeah.
So you're saying that was the kavana.
Exactly. That it's to show that it's a night of lifnei Hashem. It's a night where we're in the presence of Hashem. The third theme, which is at first glance the most obscured in the Maggid, but it's also very important, is the future. The Geula from Mitzrayim is strengthening ourselves in that belief. Not only helps us understand that we were chosen as a nation and that Hashem is with us today, but it's the prototype for all future Geulas. And we're supposed to use it as an opportunity to believe that just as Hashem took us out of that impossible situation, and I say impossible because the Sfarim tell us that really, even in a spiritual level, the Jews were at a state where they were so tied to Mitzrayim, it should have been really impossible to leave. And there was a nace on a Ruchnistik level too. It was an impossible situation, but Hashem took us out. Whatever you say about our situation today, however impossible you consider it, it's supposed to strengthen our belief that Hashem is going to take us out here too, from this Golos. Where do we see that? We start off right away with Halach Ma'anya. We start off mentioning that just as now we're celebrating something that was once very bad and became very good, next year we're gonna be out of this too. We kind of set the theme for the whole night. This is not just something about what happened years ago. This is something which is very, very important and very applicable for today because it's Negea, it applies to our situation in this Golos.
Next year in Jerusalem.
Amen. The end of Maggid also says this. When we say at the end of the Maggid that we say that Cain Yagienu, just as Hashem took us out, Me'afel or Gadol, so too the next year Hashem should bring us to Yerushalayim and to bring the Karbanis and the Karban Pesach. Again, at the end of Maggid, we're reinforcing this idea that it doesn't end here, it doesn't end with what we've learned about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's supposed to take us forward, it's supposed to be a practical emunah that we're learning about how to face the future as well. The second half of Hallel, after benching, is also the same idea. The first half of Hallel is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we became Avdei Hashem, where we were once the slaves of Parai, that Betzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, how we left Mitzrayim, how the Yamsov split, how the mountains trembled at Har Sinai, how the Yarden split as we entered Eretz Yisrael. That's the first half of Hallel. The second half of Hallel has a whole different feel to it. It talks about someone who's, it's referring to many people, and it has many levels, but it's also on a national level. It refers to the nation's despair in Gullus. Leilanu Hashem Leilanu, ki l'shimcha tein kavod. Your name is profaned, your name is in Gullus. Your hanhaga, the way you deal with us, is hidden. But please have rachmanis, please take us out for your name. And David HaMelech talks about how in moments of despair, how he his emunah was steadfast. And then the theme changes to Ma'ashiv, how we min ha-meitzar, and then Hashem took us out to the point of Zeh Hashem, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem, Nagilu v'nismachavai. This is the Hallel de la Asad Lavai. This is a nevuah about what's going to be when we leave the Gullus. We're going to turn back and say, wow, it was so bad, but we held on tight, and this is where we are now, and we can't believe that we're here. So the second half of Hallel is about the future Geula. So we take the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim moving forward to focus on how we are going to relate to the future Geula. Again, that's all connected to the fact that it's a night when we're very close to Hashem, and we can build these ideas through the Seder. And the things we're looking for in Maggid, the Divrei Torah we're looking for, is to keep to these impactful ideas of the fact that tonight is a night with Hashem, to strengthening our emunah and Ashkacha Pratis, to strengthening our emunah in the future Geula. And there's actually an interesting hint that the Malbim talks about that is a good way to help you keep track of the theme of the Seder night, of the Seder of Maggid, in other words, of the progression of Maggid. And that is as follows. The Pasuk says, and this is the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, V'higadta levincha b'yoyim hahu lemar, ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim mitzrayim. You should tell your children on this day, saying that because of this, Hashem did to me, he took me out of Mitzrayim. Okay, v'higadta levincha is referring to the first part of Maggid. We have manashtana, where the children ask, and we answer them avodim hayinu. And then we continue our explanation by saying how we talk about not only the mitzvah on the night of Pesach, we also talk about the fact that we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, and that there are these tremendous people that spent the whole night talking about it. That's all part of Yigat Levincha. Then there's Bayayim Ahu. We start talking about, well, what's the appropriate time to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yachol mi Bayayim, you might think from day, Tamalemer Bayayim Ahu, I Bayayim Ahu, You might think from Rish Chodesh, Tamalayim that day. From that day, you might think before night. No, at the time when Matzah Umar is Menachem Lefanecha. So first we establish the, you can call it the short form of the Seder for the children. We then go on to discuss that this is the most appropriate time to be talking. And then Lamar, we start to talk. We say Tzei Laman, we talk about, we go all the way back to Avram Avinu, and we go straight through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Till we get to Ba'avur Zeh, to Pesach Matzah Umar, the three things that we have the in front of us, not the Pesach, maybe this year, in front of us on the table, Ba'avur Zeh, it's because of this that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and that's the most integral part of Maggid, Pesach Matzah Umar, that everyone, we explain to everyone these basic themes.
So how do you, like the Pesukim that are in the, are very hard to give over, it's mm-hmm. How do you weave it into the three themes that you're talking about now, and how best to, you know, let people read them, talk about outside? I'm just curious.
It depends on the crowd. A lot of people find that giving different people around the table a turn to read gets people engaged. Mm-hmm. Other people find it easier when there's one person talking and everyone's listening. It really depends on the Seder. But with the Psukim, I feel like at that point, people get a little bogged down because everyone got... First of all the kids had Seim HaNishtan. And then everyone had a Dvar Torah on the first two paragraphs. But by the time you get to the second half, everyone's a little fizzled out. The best thing to do, I mean, the best thing that in my experience is to, first of all, just to give it a little bit of a organization. Meaning it mostly applies to the then theme. This is where we really focus on what happened in Mitzrayim. There's four psukim. The way I would say it is to keep is the four psukim. I have it written down here. I don't remember it off my hand. Here it is. The first pasuk talks about how we got to Mitzrayim. The second pasuk talks about how bad it was in Mitzrayim. The third pasuk talks about how our tefillos were accepted, and the fourth pasuk talks about how we got out. It seems a lot more complicated because there's a lot of drushes going on and a lot of stuff going on. There's four things going on. We went down. What happened when we... How did we get into this mess? What we did to get out, we davened, and then Hashem took us out. And once you stay on that basic theme, without saying at this point too much divrei Torah, there's a lot going on. In my experience, what my father always did, and I always found this very meaningful, is that he explained to us how the things that happened in Mitzrayim still happen today. The way Mitzrayim portrayed us, the way they tricked us, the way, you know, all the typical anti-Semitism that we see throughout our recent history was performed in Mitzrayim. And, you know, keep it simple and keep it current. You know, let people relate to things that they know about. Because the drushes they're very complicated. And the ones that are more complicated, you don't have to spend too much time on them. Es ha-dever, ves ha-cherev, zu ha-dever, yodai, Yerushalayim. And then there's proofs. Not only is there drushes, but then it's mamash like a piece of Gemara. Then he brings proofs from other psukim Tanakh that this word corresponds to this concept. That part is, it's kedai to go quicker. It's kedai to go quicker and say it in the most simple way. And, you know, but really having, I found once I don't remember where I got this from, probably from Rav Matisyahu Solomon Shlita, but that these four psukim are just these four ideas, right. And it makes it a lot easier to deal with. And by then, the kids are begging for Dayenu, so then you know what you have to do next.
When does Agada transition to the now?
So the now is more of a feeling throughout the night.
Okay.
It's the kittel, it's the organization, the precision of everything we do on the night. It's the praising Hashem. It's the experience. The now is more the experience. It's not so much in the Haggadah. The then is very present in the Haggadah. The future is very present in the Haggadah. The now is the motif that allows you to focus on what am I walking away with? I'm walking away with the fact that Hashem is close to us. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem is here tonight, and we're attaining a greater awareness of Hashem. The now is more the focus of the night, whereas the then and the future are the themes openly discussed in the Maggid. Okay, I want to end with one point, and that is that towards the beginning of Maggid, like we said, we throw in the drasha of Ben Zayma, the idea that besides for on the Seder night, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim not only by day, but even by night. And the Chacham say now and in the future, after Mashiach comes, we'll still have the mitzvah. Why are we mentioning this? This is not the mitzvah of the night. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is something we do twice a day when we say the last pasuk of Shema in the morning and in the evening. So what's it got to do with tonight? The answer is that the Seder night is a booster pack. It's a huge pill. It's a huge dose of being inspired to become closer to Hashem and have a greater relationship and emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's kind of like when you had like the most amazing experience. I don't know, you went to the Siyum HaShas, or you went on this fantastic family vacation where everyone got closer together or something. And then throughout the year you go, remember that? And everyone goes, oh yeah, that was amazing. So they're not going to spend hours reliving that trip. But if you mention it, then all of a sudden it brings back a rush that allows the person to reconnect with that. So the daily mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, is like saying, you remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, like, remember what we spent the whole night working on the Seder night? And it helps you relate to, the, I mean, this huge dose, it's a lot. And if you just walk away and you don't talk about it until next year, it's not going to go anywhere. But if you slowly, every day, you refer back to it, it's something that it's like it's a point of reference, and it allows you to refer back to the points that you gained through the Seder and throughout Pesach. So that's that concept, and so it's also something to realize that the Seder night is an investment, so it definitely is worth putting the focus on those few hours, but. On the other hand, it's also something that if we can take more time to digest, you know, it's sometimes you said a lot on the Seder, but then, you know what, you have 8 days to think it through. And then after that, you have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole year to reconnect somewhat to this event. So it's an important piece. It's not something to be looked over. So again, and just to end off with really what we started with, is that the most important key. I mean, obviously these are all good ideas and important focuses, but the key is to play it to the audience. You know, there were some great people that they spent all night talking about the Sipri Tzvius Mitzrayim. And I have read personal testimonies from people that were at the Starim of the greatest people of past generations, where around the table were their wife and their kids. And a lot of times the wife didn't even know how to read, never mind how to darshan. And, you know, this is before the Beis Yaakov days. And they opened up the Haggadah, and they read it, and they touched it in Yiddish, or whatever other language they spoke. And that was the end of the deal. Because, ultimately, it's not the intellectual sophistication that's going to win. It's the, however you can impact the participants, even if it's simple ideas, even if it's just reading the words and saying, wow, isn't that unusual? They have five people that they didn't have anything better to do with their time, that to spend the whole night talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It must be very important. You know, sometimes these simple messages are overlooked, and it's always worth it to choose A, impact over information, and B, to choose a good mood at the Seder over stressing people's limitations.
I was wondering whether it's, I know we've done this before, asking like the teenager, the older kids, what they want to get out of the Seder.
Yeah, it's a great question before. It's you know, to prep them before.
Yeah, just like, so that they feel engaged or, you know, influence how it runs.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea.
Where'd you get the now and future?
That's just.
Is that your own idea, or did you read it somewhere?
I didn't read it anywhere, no.